All right, the second epistle, general of Peter. Now, this epistle was written by Simon Peter in his old age, shortly before his death. We know that from verse 14. Chapter 1, verse 14. 13 and 14. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. You remember back in John 21, when our Lord gathered his disciples around him by the fire, Peter in particular. He told the Apostle Peter how he would die, that he would be crucified. Legend has it that he refused to be crucified in the manner in which his Lord was crucified, but rather to be crucified upside down. I cannot verify that, but that's what I'm told. And Peter identifies himself in three ways in this first verse. Simon Peter, a servant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ. First, he identified himself by his name, Simon. That's the name his mother and dad gave him. He's called Simon, Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonas. But the name Peter is the name our Lord gave him at his conversion. He said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter, Simon, Bar-Jonah, spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God." And our Lord said, "Blessed are you. Your name will be Peter, a stone. And on this rock, not on you, but on this confession, I'll build my church. Thou art Cephas," called Cephas or Peter. Our Lord gave him that name, a stone. And next, he identifies himself by not his name, but his character. He said, "I'm a servant." But there are a lot of servants, but not this kind of servant. Just about everybody is a servant to someone if you work for someone, but not this kind of servant. This servant is a bond servant. Everything in the Old Testament has its type, and everything in the New Testament has its type in the Old Testament. And this, our Lord Jesus Christ called himself a servant. The book of Mark pictures Christ the servant. And Paul called himself a servant, and Peter called himself a servant. But this is a particular kind of servant, and it's found in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21, I want you to look at it because I see something here in this Exodus 21 I haven't seen before. This is the kind of servant that Peter says he is. Exodus 21, verse 1, "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve." Now he's a servant. He's compelled to be one. He has to be one. He serves because he owes it. And he'll serve, but in the seventh year he'll go out free for nothing. Set him free the seventh year. If he came in by himself, he'll go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife will go out with him. But if his master has given him a wife, this is a good master. Brought him in there a slave, a servant, owing something, in bondage. Gave him a wife, and she born him sons and daughters. The wife and children belong to the master. If he goes out free, he goes out by himself. But watch this. If this servant shall plainly say, no question, this is what he feels, this is what he believes, this is what he is. He plainly saith. Sincerely, plainly, I love my master. There's the key word. He didn't come in loving him. He loves him now because of his goodness to him. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I love everybody here in his house. I love the whole household of my master. Therefore, because I love, I will not go out. I won't leave. I love and I will. The will is because of the love. He makes you willing in his goodness of love and mercy. I love and therefore I will. I will stay with him. I will not go out. I will not leave because I love him. Then his master shall bring him into the judges. He shall bring him to the door of the temple, door of something, to the doorpost, and bore his ear through with an awl. And he'll be a servant, but a different kind. Not a temporary servant. Forever. Forever. His master loves him. He loves his master. And he will serve him forever. It's the goodness of the master that won his heart. And he will not go out. And that's what Peter says, I am. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I love my master. Therefore, I will. The willingness is born of the love and grace. And then Peter, let's go back to our text. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, these apostles are special men. The Lord who ascended is the Lord who descended. And he gave some prophets, some apostles, some missionaries, some pastors and teachers. He did that. He ordered that in his kingdom. And these apostles were special men. Turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. These apostles, the prophets, God spake to our fathers with the prophets. And the prophets wrote the Old Testament scriptures. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, these apostles were special, holy men chosen by Christ. And the Lord Jesus used them to write the New Testament. And in Mark chapter 3, he says in verse 14 and 15, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and have power to heal sicknesses and cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter. And then the next three verses tell you who those 12 apostles were. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 2. These were special men. They were given special power and special understanding, special unction to write the scriptures. And we're to listen to them. So Peter is a humble man. He said, I'm Simon, son of Jonah. But the Lord gave me a name, Peter. And I'm just a servant. I'm a servant of his. But I'm also an apostle. I have authority. And to give weight to what he's saying, I am one of the apostles. There were only 12. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? He's the preacher of the gospel. He's that prophet. But it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, these apostles. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and different miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. And the scriptures were written by these men. So, Peter, go back to my text, 2 Peter 1. That's Simon Peter, that's my name. And I'm a servant. Just like all of you in the kingdom of God, in the household of faith. But I'm an apostle. So you listen. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And all scriptures is God-breathed and is profitable. On television last night, Larry King Live, there was some conversation with religious leaders. John MacArthur gave a good testimony. that they said it's according to the Bible. And Larry King says, whose Bible? And the answer came well spoken. The Bible written by Moses and Isaiah and David and the apostles. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. The Word of God. And all the rest of them are not Bibles. This is, he gave prophets and apostles to write the Scriptures. And all Scriptures God breathed and is profitable, and only the Scriptures. The question was asked also, do you believe that only those who believe in Jesus Christ will go to heaven? And like Arthur said, that's what the Bible says. That's a good answer. That's what God says. And you can bank on it. All right, let's go on. And Peter identifies not only himself, but he identifies the persons to whom he writes. He says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. You know, the Word of God, words are meaningful in the Word of God. Each word is significant. And I see something in each of these words. I'm writing to those who have obtained like precious faith. Our faith is the same faith of the apostles. Like faith with us. There's only one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, one faith. And Paul called it in his letter to Titus the common faith, because it's the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the faith of all his people. It's not the same in degree. This faith is not the same in degree. We grow from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Growth in faith. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. So there are degrees of faith. The Scripture talks about great faith and little faith. How small is our faith? How great is our faith? So forth. That talks about that. But the faith is the same. It's like faith with us. It's the same in three things. These are the most important. It's the same in regard to its source. It's the gift of God. Your faith, Abraham's faith, Moses' faith, the faith that God's given me is the gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. So it's the same faith, it's the gift of God. Secondly, it's the same as to its object. This is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life's in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Faith is the same. It's like faith as to its source, it's God-given, as to its object, looking to Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. So it's the same as to its source, the same as to its object, and it's the same as to its results. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's like faith. So when people talk about we don't have the same faith, yes, if we're saved, we do. I'm writing to those who have obtained like faith, and it's precious. He says it's more, look down at verse, chapter 1, verse 7. Listen to this. It's more precious than gold. This is your greatest treasure. Possession. Chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith being more precious than gold that perisheth. It's precious. There's not a whole lot of things called precious in the Bible. He's precious. unto you that believe, he's precious. Faith is precious. Faith is more precious than gold that perishes. The promises of God are precious. That's the foundation of our faith. The blood of Christ is precious. And faith assures us of the only death that can possibly be precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord are those who die in Christ, his elect. Their death is precious. No other death is. So Peter says, I'm writing to folks who have obtained like faith with us. Precious. Precious faith. God given. Precious faith that leads to precious death. Very precious. Close your eyes here and open them in glory. To die is gain, but only in the Lord. And then it's faith that we obtained. We have obtained this precious faith. We obtained it. To them that have obtained it, we didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. It's not by works. It's not by chance. It's God-given. Paul says, I obtained faith. I obtained it. By the wise and good and powerful grace of God, I obtained faith. Because he obtained salvation for me. Turn to Hebrews 9. I want to show you something here in Hebrews 9. I obtained faith because he obtained that salvation and that righteousness. Now listen, Hebrews 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, 11. But Christ being come, high priest of good things to come. Oh, the good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Not that one in the wilderness. Not that temple. That is to say, not made with hand, not this building. But his blood, his body, that's the tabernacle we're talking about. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having accomplished eternal redemption for us. He obtained it for us. And I obtained it through him and his righteousness. I'm going to show you something here that I want us to get a hold of. I've tried to preach this for years. And I believe this verse right here, this first verse of 2 Peter 1, makes this as clear as any scripture I've ever read. Simon Peter, a serpent, an apostle with authority of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, received, been given, like precious faith with the apostles, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the righteousness of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't obtain the righteousness of God by our faith. We obtained our faith by the righteousness of God. You see that? We didn't obtain this righteousness by faith. We obtained our faith, that like precious faith, through the righteousness of God. Now let me make good on that. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. And you stay with me now and listen carefully. This is not deep, it's just so. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. He imputed our sins to Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. To be made the righteousness of God is to be made perfect, holy, unblameable, faultless, unreprovable in God's sight. And this is ours, not by faith, but by the obedience of Christ. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God, not by faith, but in him. in Him, by His obedience, by His blood. This perfect state of righteousness is imputed to us in Christ. Our sins were charged to Him, His righteousness to us. Our sins were laid on Him, His righteousness put on us. Our sins imputed to Him, His righteousness imputed to us. So faith comes. Faith in Christ, believing in Christ, comes with and through this righteousness in Christ. When by the gospel, the Spirit of God reveals Christ to a lost sinner, when he sees Christ, when by the preaching of the Word, God reveals to that sinner the person and work of Christ Jesus, faith is born in him. The faith didn't precede the sight. The faith is the result of the sight. When he sees who Christ is, the perfect Son of God, holy and righteous, yet a man. When he sees what Christ did in his life, in his death, in his obedience, in his blood, secured for us, provided for us a perfect holiness. When he sees why Christ did it, that God may be just and justify me, when he sees this, and when he sees where he is now, raised from the grave, accepted of God, and seated as our forerunner at the right hand of God, when he sees this, when it dawns on him, he believes. You see what I'm saying? He believes. The righteousness of God is revealed to him, and he believes it. God, at the same time that he shows him Christ, gives him faith. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom you trusted. When did you trust him? After you heard the word of truth. Well, who's the truth? Christ is. What is the truth? What he did. Why he did it. Where he is now. And you believed after you heard that. In whom you believed. In whom you trusted. After you heard the word of truth. After you heard the gospel. After you heard the good news. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also you believed. And you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Romans 10. Let's look at this. Romans 10, verse 10 through 12. Listen to this. Romans 10, verse 10. Verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13. Now whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Righteous before God. Accepted. How are they going to call on him in whom they've not believed? And how do they believe in him with whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? Now read that backwards. God sends a preacher. And he preaches the gospel. Gospel of whom? Concerning his son. Who he is. What he did. The righteousness of Christ. The atonement of Christ. The blood of Christ. And you hear it. That's when you believe. That's when faith comes. Faith is through the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not before, it's through it. It's with it. Faith has no causal effect or influence on the righteousness of God. That perfect righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, that perfect holiness, that perfect atonement, my faith has no causal effect or influence on that at all. But that perfect righteousness has a whole lot of power and influence and causal effect on my faith. That's why I believe. That's why I believe. Because of who he is. Because of what he did. Because of where he is. Because of why he did it. Because God sent it. That is the foundation of my faith. You see what I'm trying to say? We don't get the righteousness of God because we believe. We believe because he gave us his righteousness. With that comes faith. That's a faith you can't shake. That's a faith that I've seen the Lord. He that seeth the Son and believe on Him. You can't believe on Him until you see Him. And when you see Him, you see who He is, you see what He did, you see why He did it, you see where He is now. You see all His righteousness and perfect atonement. You see the Son. And that's when you believe. And that's the reason so many people do not have saving faith, is the preachers are preaching who He is. They're preaching what you do, not what He did. I got to find out what He did before I can do anything. Isn't that right? I've got to find out. God's got to show me the object of faith and the reason for faith and the promises of faith and the blessings of faith. And when I see it, I believe. And you can't ever shake me off that rock because I've seen Him. He that seeth the Son and believes on Him has everlasting life. But you don't believe on Him, then see Him. You don't believe on Him, then have righteousness. You don't believe on Him, and then accept it of God. He made you accepted. He made you righteous. And you see what He did for you, and you love Him for it. And you believe on Him. I hope that's clear, but that's what Peter is saying here. Look at it, and read it carefully now, slowly. Simon Peter, and a servant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. You don't get that righteousness through faith. You get faith through that righteousness. And that's the reason we must preach Christ and Him crucified. Because folks are not going to believe in one whom they do not know. Now look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We already have righteousness and grace and mercy and peace. We have it in Christ. And that righteousness knows no degrees. It's perfect. The thief on the cross was taken straight to glory. I've lived since God saved me 51 years. I didn't go straight to glory when I believed. I could have, if God had killed me, taken me on to glory, because I was fit for glory in Christ's righteousness. But I've been put down here for a purpose and for a reason. And this faith grows, and this grace grows, and this peace is multiplied. How? Through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how it grows. It says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. Grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. We've been given pastors and teachers that we might grow up, he said, and be no longer children in understanding. So faith is through the righteousness of Christ. Growth in grace is through the knowledge of Christ. Come unto me, he said, and I'll give you rest. Learn of me, you'll find more rest. All right, verse 3. You have to appreciate the great lesson in verse 3. I've got to preach it just phrase by phrase. Listen. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. It's his power. Our Lord Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Don't fall in line with this poor little Jesus boy. He's Lord. He's sovereign King. When he was going to the cross, people followed him and the women were weeping and lamenting. And he turned and said, don't weep for me. Don't weep over the cure. Weep over the rent disease. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves, for your children. He's almighty. He is all power in heaven and earth. God's given him all power over all flesh. He's declared to be the Son of God with power. Now watch it. And he, through his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life, eternal life, spiritual life, kingdom of God, and godliness. Now, how do we have all these things? Through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and to virtue. He knows us and we know Him. And that's how we have this growth in grace, and that's how we have this all things that pertain to life and virtue and glory. Leave one verse and I'll close. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Verse 10 and 11. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And I shall make your soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge, he said, I know the Father, and the Father knows me. And I know my sheep, and they know me. And this is the knowledge. The Father knows the Son, and gave him as our surety and redeemer. The Son knows the Father, and is obedient to every command and every assignment and task. And the Son knows his sheep. I know my sheep. I lay down my life for them, and they know me. And by his knowledge of the Father, and the Father of him, and of his sheep, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Grace and peace, verse 2, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, the living God, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life, eternal life, godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All right, tonight we'll pick up, the Lord willing, at verse 4 and deal with these next verses that we read.